something to leave their mark when life is through. But vain pursuit will count for nothing. Time will erase whate'er we do. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain.
Inside my heart there burned a question. What was I placed on earth here for? It truly was to build a kingdom, not of my own, but of the Lord.
I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. No need to add to worldly riches.
Blessing. Outstanding. Appreciate the good music tonight. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Find that chapter book, Ephesians chapter 4, in your New Testament. And the ushers are ready now to come and pass out the church calendar for this coming year, which doesn't have every specific event that will take place, but kind of some of the highlights that we'd like for you to know about in advance. And we're going to spend the first few minutes here in just a moment going through this, pointing out some things. So, fellas, you come with these. Let's make them available. Pass them down the aisles. And be sure and take one tonight. And the visitors, you're welcome to take one as well. I think we have plenty. And so if we have plenty, and I'm trying to get Naomi's attention, if we have plenty, do we have plenty? We have plenty. Good. Thank you. All right. Very good. Thought that was the key word. She would be looking at me going, but she's busy taking care of kids. Can you imagine that? All right. Take one of those and give me a second here. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to talk through some of this with you and talk a little bit about the theme, and then I'm going to preach a little bit about the theme tonight, how it hopefully will play out this coming year in our lives. But Brian, you got several upstairs. Thank you, sir. All right. Very good. Anybody else? Anybody get missed? All right, let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight with a grateful heart. Thank you, Lord, for what our hearts have already just experienced in this service, the joy of singing together. And Lord, as a church, raising our voices in song and worshiping you, praising you and your greatness, Lord, your majesty. And Lord, then this the opportunity to hear this good song that we just heard about investing our lives for eternal gain. Lord, you don't have to be a missionary to do that. Just a good Christian, faithful steward. And I pray that you'll help us to live with that mentality throughout this coming year, to invest our lives in eternal gain. Bless me tonight. Help us as we go through this. Lord, speak to our hearts. It's an unusual type message, but I pray that you will bring our church together. May we move forward in this area this year. May we be helped and blessed as we try to learn Christ. May it be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way it'll be done. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. You see the theme in the middle of the calendar there, also on the banner up front. Thank Brother Ryan for his faithfulness in helping us with the graphics. We give him the verse, the theme. He comes up with the design, and I appreciate so much. I enjoy his work, learning Christ. Now, I want to point out some of the plans for you. I mentioned this morning, talking about Brother Dallas coming next Sunday. When I got saved back in 1975, it was very common to hear of God's power through some tremendous salvation testimonies. And I want to say again what I said this morning, because I don't want to minimize the conversion of a small child, that every salvation experience is a miraculous experience, okay? When you pass from death into life, that's miraculous. And that's what happens when you get saved. And so that being said, there were some men back then in particular who were converted to Christ out of unusual circumstances, okay? And unfortunately, you know the drill. A lot of times those unusual circumstances were lives of deep sin. And, you know, Jesus even talked about that in Simon's house when that woman came in and began to cry on his feet and wash her hair. He even referred to that. He said, you know, I mean, boy, you get a Mary Magdalene freed of seven devils. That's a pretty big deal. Not everybody who gets saved gets freed from seven devils. And so, you know, there's some men were back then who were preaching their testimonies, and it would draw a crowd, and boy, it'd be a good opportunity to get somebody to church. And so that the Lord kind of put that on my heart, you know. And I thought, okay, so why don't we do that now? I know some men that have some very amazing salvation testimonies. And Chris Dallas has one of them. And he's coming in next Sunday. He's going to preach his testimony in the 11 o'clock service. You haven't heard it. It's a pretty remarkable testimony. And again, if you have somebody who's had a rough time in life, you work with, they're just one of those people that just, you know, their lives are ruined by all kinds of vice or whatever, just, you know, invite them next Sunday, because it could resonate. His testimony could resonate. In the Sunday school hour, he's going to be teaching on reclaiming the prodigal. And he said that'll have a twofold blessing. It will help possibly a prodigal come back to God. And as I said this morning, prodigals are not always just teenagers. There's prodigal parents. There's prodigal everybody, okay? People who leave God, leave the will of God. And so he's going to be talking about it will help the prodigal. It will also help those who have a prodigal in your family or a close friend who is a prodigal. And so Chris Dallas will be our first one on April the 19th. Dr. Gomez will be here. I know many of you know that he was saved, you know, out of a life of the swamps in Louisiana. If you've never heard the details of that, it's an amazing story. How God saved Keith Gomez. I mean, it really is, and what God's done with him. So he'll be here on the 19th. He'll be giving his testimony, preaching it this Sunday morning. July 26th, Evangelist Dan Martin will be here. Another tremendous testimony. He's given some pieces of that here in years gone by, but he'll be preaching his testimony that morning. And then the last one, October 25, I doubt very many of you, if any, have ever heard of this man, Pastor Ryan Nez. But Pastor Nez is an American Indian who pastors on the Navajo Nation in Arizona, and his salvation testimony is incredible. And I'm talking about the type of stuff that makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up type stuff. I mean, it is incredible testimony. You're talking about a dear man of God. And I met him and I got to know him. We've talked some and kind of become friends. And so Brother Nez will be here in October. And I'm very excited for you to hear those salvation testimonies and the opportunity to get people here to hear them. Now, with Chris coming, Brother Dallas, we're kind of quick here. So let's get the word out, friends, neighbors, relatives, so forth, this week. January, notice that baby day is 1 week early. 1 week early. That's because the last Sunday of the month, my wife and I will be in Arizona. I'll be preaching for Justin Leisure, his missions conference down there, Sunday through Tuesday. And it'll be my second time to be with Leisure. That's Wayne and Mary Faye's grandson. and a good guy, been in Arizona now 10 years. He got an established church there, and so we will be there. And so we're moving Baby Day to the 19th. So those of you involved in Baby Day this year, January 19th. Then, February and March are fairly quiet pilots, but you will notice the absence of Yard Mart. But for those of you hardcore Yard Mart people, Brother Mick is coming with an announcement for you in April.
Merry Christmas. The youth department is going to have a Yard Mart. We are, this summer, we're going to have a missions trip. We're going to go to the Navajo Nation. And Pastor was able to go and meet the missionaries there and help in some of the churches. And so the Lord opened the door for us to go and to be able to do a week-long vacation Bible school. And so to offset the cost, we're going to do Yard Mart. That's going to be April 9th. And we're obviously not going to have the trailer like we've had in the past. We're not going to be able to take stuff throughout this beginning part of the year like we've done in the past. But if you have something that would be valuable and be able to sell you would like to donate to that, if you could hold on to it for a little bit, the week and a half before April 9th, we're going to start collecting items that Sunday, and we're going to start just like we normally do. No pressure to have people involved. The idea is really have the teenagers and their families help out and get involved in order to do this. And this is a way that they can raise money so they can go on the missions trip. And it's gonna have some cost to it, obviously. So this will help to offset the cost. We've already got a number of people from the community who come, and from what I've understood, there's some items that need to be out of your house. So we want to help you with that. But this is a way that the young people can raise money, and it doesn't come from our church. It comes from the community. It comes from the people in the area. And so that's one thing that we're going to do. And so if you could help in any way, that would be tremendous.
Okay, very good. It's not called Yard Mart. It's called Mini Mart. And there is no pressure on you. But however, I think many of us have found out that, boy, Yard Mart was kind of a nice thing. It was a good way to get rid of stuff, okay? And so, look, the teenagers do not need a handout. That's the worst thing in the world. Let's just give them money. Really? They need to work for it. They need to earn it. Okay? And some of you will earn money. You'll work like crazy to help your teenagers earn money for all kinds of things. If you don't see the benefit in them going on a missions trip, I don't know where your head is. It could be the best thing in the world for them. Okay? Unless you're afraid that God might call them into full-time service as a missionary. So get involved. You're not going to hear any pressure from me. You don't want to be within 1,000 miles of it. I get it. I'll be with you 1,000 miles away. I'm not going to have anything to do. But if it can help the young people and you want to be a blessing, that's available. The missions trip is in the month of June. You'll see that there on the calendar. July has all of our camps and VBS. All in the month of July. September, we're coming back with that bus workers rally. Again, Brother Allen did a tremendous time this year. We have a special guest, Pastor William Tyson from out in Bowie, Maryland. And his church is a tremendous bus ministry church. They do a lot to supply other independent Baptist churches with buses to use in the bus ministry. They give them away. Is that correct, Brother Bragg? Brother Bragg and Naomi, some of the teenagers have met Pastor Tyson on senior trips. And so Brother Tyson will be here to be on that Saturday at the bus workers rally. He'll also preach that Sunday. Then in the month of October, I want you to notice this, all couples in the church, married couples. I spoke at Brother Woodward's couples retreat this past October, my wife and I did. And I came home and said, this is something that we need to get going amongst the couples of our church. It was extremely laid back. It's not rigid. It's not hour after hour after hour after hour of teaching and services. It's very low key. There's a main session and a split session Friday night, and there is a main session on Saturday. And I'm gonna tell you, it's in October in Wisconsin. It is a beautiful part of the country and a beautiful time of the year. And I am convinced Brother Danny is going to try to get Spanish folks to come. And Brother Jerry Ross and his wife are coming this year to be the speakers. You will not get any better than Jerry Ross and his wife. Brother Ross coming. So here's what you need to do, couples. You need to plan now. It's not cheap, okay? We'll get you the details, but you need to plan now. If you don't see the value of a 250 to three, whatever it is, 200, I can't remember now. Do you remember? You don't remember. $250 investment in your marriage, then I don't know what to do for you. A time to get away and spend just a brief time together as husband and wife, low key, where you have time together. And there's tons of things to do. Tons of things to do up there. We had a tremendous time. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm going to enjoy it more this year because I'm not speaking. I'm not having to speak at all. So I want. And when you say, who is this for? Young couples, we always think, but it doesn't matter. Middle-aged, they had all-age couples there. And there are three or four churches that participated. But really, I'm encouraging you. I'm asking you, couples, I'm asking you, please, put it on your calendar. Start putting some money aside. Plan to attend. Start lining up what you're going to do with the kids and plan to be at this couple's retreat. I'm convinced it's going to be a benefit. And I can say that to you. I know Pastor Ross well. Okay? We're good friends. You won't get any greater material on any subject from the Bible than Pastor Ross. So please be a part of that in October. Put it on your calendar. Mark it here, okay? Then, again, we're going to have the community outreach on the 31st. We'll talk more about that. And then our guest evangelist is Brother John Bishop this year from Triple S Christian Ranch in Rosebud, Arkansas. Now, I don't know about the ladies' craft fair. We'll decide that later. I've not had anybody step forward with an idea on what to do with it or whatever, or if somebody wants to head it up. So that's open for game. But anyway, that's pretty much those are the major events of this year. Other events on here, not everything going on in the church, of course, is mentioned or listed on the calendar. Now listen, we pass these out so you can look it over and schedule your year as far as vacations and out of towns and so forth. Look, I understand that, you know, there's going to be a vacation. I encourage that. I think that's healthy. I think it's healthy for a family. I get it. I understand. Weekend trips once in a while to visit a parent, okay, or a child. I get that, all right? I understand that. But people, we pass these out so that hopefully you won't purposely plan a trip on a special day. I do not understand that mentality. I don't get it. When you look at the calendar and you see our church is having a special day this week and you have flexibility with your weekends, I don't understand planning to be gone on that special day. I just don't get it. And, you know, look, in Hebrews 10:25, the writer, we think it was Paul, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You understand, your very presence in a church service encourages others. That's what he said. I'm not reading anything into that. It's black and white in the Scripture. Now, if your presence encourages somebody, what does your absence do? Discourages. I don't know what group or what person with a blog or a social media presence is responsible for promoting this business of weekend retreats. But I'm going to tell you something. If I was a betting man, I would put money on it that they are not biblical in their doctrine on the local church. I'll put money on it. I don't know who it is, and I'm not going looking for it. I'm not going looking for it. I don't know where that's coming from, but it's out there somewhere. Somebody's promoting it. Somebody with a social media presence. Somebody somewhere is promoting this idea of weekend retreats. I don't see it promoted anywhere in the Scripture. And it's certainly not promoted by somebody who believes in the local New Testament church. It's taught in the Scripture. I understand a weekend away. But look, a church cannot be built with people who are constantly on weekend retreats. Will not happen. And what we started with 30 years ago was pretty much a group of people who were committed, which is why this thing is where it is today. Some of you need to think about that. It wouldn't be here if we had people committed to weekend retreats. I don't get it. Part of the problem is we're not right on our doctrine on the local church. So I don't know where you're getting it. I don't know who's behind it. I don't know. I'm not going to go looking for it. But here's the thing: if I am not a voice for what the Bible teaches, then it goes uncontested. So I got to contest it, and I'm not afraid to contest it. Okay, so I'm not afraid to. So just because you can take a weekend away doesn't mean you have to, or you should. Amen. So please don't miss these special Sundays that we have planned. Almost always it's possible. I know sometimes it can't be done, okay? But a weekend trip, you know, can be moved to avoid being gone, special days, special occasions. And please look it over and just look, whatever we have, jump in, be involved, be excited about it, and let the Lord use it to help you and build you and bless you this year. Now, let me speak for a little bit about the theme of learning Christ, okay? Because that's our theme for this year. Last year, at some point in time, I preached a message from Ephesians chapter 4. I think the title of the message was The School of Christ. I don't recall exactly. I didn't go back in the archives and look at it. But it was from this passage, from this exact text. But God really put that on my heart. Even after the message was over, you probably forgot about it. It was still going through my mind, this business of learning Christ. Look what Paul said in verse number 17 in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to talk through these for a minute. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." So he's writing to the church at Ephesus. This was not something universal. Universal does not exist. It was a local assembly that Paul had been to. And so he says to them, that this, the people in this church, the saved Gentiles in the church at Ephesus were not to walk. That means live or behave or carry on their manner of life as the unsaved Gentiles walked. Christian Gentiles are to behave and walk differently than unsaved Gentiles. The unsaved Gentile lifestyle was influenced by their mind. Look at the end of verse number 17. "Walk not as other Gentiles walk," the unsaved, "in the vanity of their mind." So their lifestyle was influenced by their mind, their thinking. Somebody has said, "We are what we think." Solomon said in the Proverbs, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Our thoughts determine our actions, our thoughts determine our emotions, and our thoughts will determine our choices. And so he's saying here to a group of saved people, look, your life should be completely different than the unsaved Gentiles' life because their thinking is not right. Look at verse 18. "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Paul said their understanding is darkened. Listen, do you read those words, alienated from the life of God? Aren't you glad you're saved? Alienated from the life of God? And Paul said they act like unsaved people because they understand and they think like unsaved people. They are ignorant. They're not dumb. They're not stupid. They're ignorant of spiritual truth. They're ignorant of spiritual truth about marriage. Their understanding is darkened. The only way you could put your stamp of approval when it comes to marriage being between two men or two women is if your understanding is darkened. It's the only way. Their understanding is darkened. Their understanding is darkened about abortion. And I read somewhere where the National Rifle Association receives no government funding and took no lives. Planned Parenthood killed over 40 million babies and took over $500 million from our government. Now, the gun's not the problem. The doctor in the hospital is the problem. But their thinking is darkened. When it comes to parenting, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to authority, when it comes to music, when it comes to entertainment, when it comes to church, their authority is, their thinking is darkened. That's what the Bible says. Their understanding is darkened, okay? Verse number 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So that lack of spiritual insight, eventually, that lack of understanding of spiritual truth leads further and further into wickedness. Welcome to the society you're living in. That's where we are today. All right? Now, verse 20, but. And there's that little two-letter word again, ye. I circled it. I wrote out in the margin, that's me. That's you. But ye have not so learned Christ. Look, ye, you saved Gentiles. You've not so learned Jesus Christ. Somebody says, what makes the difference for the saved person? Wrong question. It's not what. It's who makes the difference for a saved person. And the one who makes a difference for a saved person is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's not religion. Two Saturdays ago, I was witnessing to some people who were members of Bob Foster's family. And, you know, it was just stuck on religion, stuck on religion. I tried my best to show it's not religion. Tried to tell them about and show them about Nicodemus. It's not religion, but it did not break through. The answer is not religion. The answer is Jesus Christ. All right? And in verse number, he said, you've not so learned Christ. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So what he's saying here, those who have learned Christ are saved from the darkness and the defilement of a vain mind. People, look, if you were lost, you would be thinking just like the lost are thinking. The reason you think differently is because of Christ. Christ has made the difference. So God's people know more. God's people should know more. They've learned more, or they should have learned more about Christ, about Jesus, as the truth is in Jesus. We know more because we've learned of Christ, and the truth is in Jesus Christ. So, there should be a marked and notable difference in the manner of behavior, the manner of living between those with vain thinking, whose minds are darkened and alienated from God. There should be a difference in their thinking and those who have learned and heard the truth that is in Christ. He's the one that makes the difference for you and me. Now, how do we know Christ? How do we learn the truth that is in Christ? How do we become an example of a believer who has been taught by and learned the truth that is in Christ? Well, there is a scripture that speaks about you and me becoming an example of the believer. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. So turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's kind of the foundation for this thing, okay? It is Christ who makes the difference because the truth, as the truth, because the truth is in Jesus. So we learn from Christ. We learn of Christ. It gives us the right kind of thinking. That right thinking, that right understanding changes our thought processes. It changes our emotions. It changes our choices and leads to a life that honors and glorifies God. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. He says to Timothy here, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. So he said, be an example, Timothy. And then he listed areas where Timothy's to be an example. In word, that's vocabulary. That's your speech. That's what you say. In conversation, that word means manner of life. He said in charity, that's love in action. That's love in action. He said spirit, that's little s, lowercase s. That's our attitude. And in faith, obeying God, which is a result of believing God in spite of the circumstances, and in purity. That speaks for itself. In an unclean, vile world, God's people should be holy people. Now, folks, we see all of those attributes in Jesus Christ. All of them. And this is what you and I should be an example of. And as we learn Christ, as we learn of Christ, as we learn from Christ, it's going to affect our vocabulary. It's going to affect our behavior. It's going to cause us to be loving in action, have good attitude, have faith in what God says, obeying Him in spite of the circumstances, being holy. All of these attributes come from you and I learning Christ. How do we learn Christ? Where do we learn Christ? I mean, Jesus is in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's going to come back in the clouds someday. But until then, He's up there. Now look at the next verse. Look what Paul said in verse number 13. So he's just told Timothy, you be an example of these things. Then he says in verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Now Timothy, your mind is so vital to your ability to be an example of the believer. Your mind is so vital. And you need to learn of Christ, and you need to learn from Christ. So I want you to give attendance to. Now people, that word attendance in verse number 13, it means attention, it means regard, listen, it means careful application of the mind. Careful application of the mind. Our thoughts, our thinking should be different from the thoughts and the thinking of the unsaved world. And I'm not screaming at them tonight because they're not dumb or stupid. They're ignorant. Now, in some cases, they've rejected it. In some cases, they don't know. You and I should know. And our minds should be different. And our thinking and our understanding should be different. And that is so vital to you and me developing these attributes in our life. Be an example of the believer in these areas. And so Paul tells Timothy, you give attention to, you give careful application of your mind to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. You know what those three are? Reading, preaching, and teaching. Reading, preaching, and teaching. You give careful application. You give attention. You give regard for. That's why I said what I did this morning. I was not blowing steam this morning. I was not spouting hot air this morning. God said, you give regard to teaching. And when you blow off Sunday school, that's not giving regard to teaching. That's being flippant about it. Flippant. That's what He said. That's what the word means. Look it up. It means give careful application of mind. Give attention to. Give regard to. Because what comes in the eye gate and what comes in the ear gate goes eventually into the mind, in the chamber of our thinking. And Timothy, it is so vital for your ability to be an example of the believer. You give close regard. You give careful application of your mind to reading, preaching, and teaching. Now, folks, we're never going to learn Christ apart from this book right here. Never, 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 never in a million years. Never. Your relationship, my relationship to this book tells us exactly how much we're learning of Christ. And if we don't have a relationship with this book, we're not learning of Christ. And he spells it out for us here in three areas. Three areas we're supposed to read it in order to learn Christ. To learn how to be an example. To develop these qualities and characteristics that make us different from the unsaved Gentile world. We have to read the Scriptures. Please get a plan for reading your Bible this year. Please. I'm not going to say get a plan to read the Bible through, unless that's a wonderful goal. And some people do that. But for some people whose sum total of Bible reading last year amounted to a couple of maybe 5 or 6 days during the year, kind of feeling bad about it, sitting down on a Thursday and saying, I need to read something in the Bible. Where do I read? Get a plan. Get a plan. Get a plan.
Come on. Good. Yes, sir. Amen.
What's your goal? Read it through in a year? Great. Get a plan. What's your goal? Read the New Testament? Get a plan. Read the Old Testament? Get a plan. Read the Proverbs through? Read the Psalms through 10 times? You know what? Don't take this to... I mean, that doesn't concern me. Read it. You spend 365 days in Genesis. I don't care. There's enough there to keep us right. Read it. Read it. Folk, you read this book. It goes in here. It's in the chamber of your thinking. This is where we learn Christ. God, help us. Get a plan and schedule it. I've preached this. If you were a teenager in a conference somewhere, and some of these adults were. Some of these adults were teenagers in conferences years ago, and you might remember me saying, in these teen conferences, the biggest hindrance to a teenager reading his Bible is because they don't have a time and a place. The same thing is true for adults. You don't have a time and a place. Read it. Read it. We are not Catholic. I don't do your Bible reading for you. You can understand the Bible. The priesthood of the believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He's the author of the book. He can teach you. Get a plan. How many times do I need to say it? I'm prepared to stay up here for a while. Repetition is the key to learning. Are you getting it yet? Read. Get a plan. Get a plan. Get a plan. Read it. Read it. Get a plan. Get it done. Get some time in that book. I won't understand it all. Join the club. I get bogged down. Join the club. I've been listening to Brother Bobby Robertson's funeral service. Brother Bobby went to heaven last year, and I was not able to go, but he was a good friend, and kind of in that lineage, and I don't mean anything by that, but Brother Brown was his assistant, and I worked for Brother Brown, and we had Brother Bobby at Marion Avenue. We had him here, and he was 85, 84, I forget how old he was, pastored that church for over 60 years. And had different men speak, and Daryl Cox, Brother Daryl Cox was one of them, a good friend, had been here to preach. And Brother Cox said he had a preacher friend call him and say, "Man, you know Brother Bobby Robertson, do you think you could get me in to see him?" And Brother Cox said, "Well, I believe I could." He said, "Let me call him." So he said, "I called Brother Bobby." That's what they called him, Brother Bobby. I called Brother Bobby, and I said, "Brother Bobby, I got a preacher friend would like to see you. Would it be okay if I bring him by?" "Yeah, I'll be in town a certain day." So they got there and they went in. This preacher was young, been in this church for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, and they howdied for a little bit. And then Brother Bobby said, "Well, what do you need, brother? What do you need?" And he said, "Well, Brother Bobby," he said, "I don't know if I should stay and pastor my church or not. Brother Bobby said, "Well, what's wrong?" He said, "Well, we're just not growing like I want us to." And Brother Bobby said, "Yeah, we're not growing like I want us to here at Gospel Light either." And the boy didn't know what to say. The young man didn't know what to say. And so he said, he talked on for a little bit, and then he said, "Well, my second problem is we're just not seeing as many people saved at our churches I want to see saved." And Brother Bobby said, "Yeah, I'm not seeing as many people saved here as I'd like to be, as I'd see saved here either." And the young man just... And Brother Bobby leaned forward and said, "Son, that has nothing to do with the will of God. You just do the will of God." And he encouraged him to stay in the will of God. And then Brother Cox said, he looked at his watch and he said, "Hey, we got time to go get us a hot dog. Let's go eat." Amen. Now, here's, so what did you tell us that story for? Because, look, you think that the guy that stands behind the pulpit has this special zap dust. And every time he opens his Bible, it's like God says, "This is what I want you to hear today." I'm like any other person. Sometimes I read my Bible and go, "Is And I get bogged down in verses and I find my mind 100 miles away. Oh, Lord, help me. Get a plan and read. Paul said that's how you learn Christ. You read. Second thing he said was exhortation. You see it there in the Scripture, verse number 13. That's a word for preaching. It means persuasive discourse. It means stirring address. So I gave an exhortation this morning. I don't know how persuasive it was. I don't know how stirring it was. But this is what it was. This is another word for the preaching of God's truth. How preaching is necessary if we are going to learn Christ. If a preaching is going to help us learn Christ. Now, you know who that puts a lot of pressure on? You know what my main concern is when I sit down with a pen, a black pen and a red pen, and I start to write these things on paper before I color them? Okay? You know what my main concern is? I don't want to do any disservice to this book right here. I don't want to pull something out of context and use it wrongly. I want to give you truth. That puts the pressure on the preacher. If people are going to show up for preaching in order to learn Christ, then your message better be full of Christ. It doesn't always have to be full about the person of Christ by name. If it's full of truth, it's full of Christ. Because He is the truth. You need preaching. You need preaching. Preaching should help us learn Christ. Help us learn Christ. Hey, listen, hey, I mean this with all of my heart. If your heart is unchallenged by the preaching of God's Word that goes across this desk, I don't know what to tell you, folks. Either there's a problem somewhere between me and you and a disconnect that is not getting through, or you need to find you a place where you're challenged by the preaching. You do not want to be a faithful church member to where you never get challenged by the preaching of God's Word. That's the truth. I appreciate a young adult man who met me in the parking lot this morning, and he said, Pastor, he said, I didn't like everything I heard this morning, but I needed it. I appreciate that. Folks, if you're not challenged by the preaching, I don't know what to tell you. There needs to be a challenge, okay, in preaching, a challenge to our hearts. That's how we learn of Christ. We learn of Christ. We learn from Christ by reading, through preaching. And then he used the word in verse number 13, doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. Preaching stirs the heart. Teaching settles the mind as to what to believe. What is truth, okay? Paul is speaking about teaching. He's speaking about teaching as you read your Bible and the teaching you get from it. He's talking about church. When a believer does not make much of devotions in church, they will not grow to be an example in their life of a believer in Christ. Paul said, Timothy, I want you to be an example of Christ. And I want you to learn of Him and learn from Him. And I want you to do that through reading, preaching, and teaching. Now, I want you to go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look with me here quickly, verse number 13. Okay, another verse 13. Because Paul was not only an avid reader of the Scripture, he was an avid reader of other books as well. Paul is in prison. He's writing to Timothy. The day of his departure is approaching. God has already shown that to him. He's heard them sharpening the big knife, the big sword that will chop his head off. All right? And he knows his departure is soon. And he tells Timothy, oh, I don't know what verse is it in. It's in verse number 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. So come quickly, Timothy. And then in verse 13, he says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. He was cold in prison. He said, bring my coat. That touch your heart? That touches my heart. Then he says, and the books. He said, well, that's the Word of God. No, look at the next phrase. But especially the parchments. So Paul makes a distinction between what? Books and Bible. Right? He makes a distinction between books and Bible. So I'm thinking, okay, learning Christ, how are we going to do this? I'm going to encourage the people. Read your Bible. Get a plan and do it. Be faithful to preaching. Be faithful to teaching. Get some yourself, okay? And then we're going to promote this year the reading of good books. One per month. One per month. After the service is over tonight, we're going to give every family a copy of this little book right here. We're going to keep the books short. We're going to keep them simple. Not going to be deep. This one here, there's more pages in here, but there's only really about 77 pages of written material. And we're going to keep it probably 100, 120 or less pages in a book. And I'm giving you this in hopes that you, husband, you wife, you child, your family will read these books. Read them. On your own, husband, read it on your own, then pass it to your wife. Read it as a family together. But read. Paul told Timothy, bring my coat, bring my Bible, bring the scripture, don't forget my books. There were some books that challenged Paul's life. All right? Now listen. Guys that have book tables and sell books will tell you, people don't buy books anymore. People aren't reading. I'm not being ugly, but the sum total of Bible influence for some of you folks in this church is 30 minutes on Sunday morning and 30 minutes on Sunday night per week. That's all you're getting. No wonder you're lagging. You're not getting enough in here. Okay? This is a little simple book called The Private Devotional Lives of Finney, Moody, and Spurgeon. I chose it on purpose for this month because it's just little tidbits about the devotional life of Charles Finney, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. And hopefully maybe just reading about their devotional habits. Okay? We'll just stir your interest in being faithful to your devotions. People, these are giants. But the foundation of it's no different for them than it is for me and you. It's our book. It's our Bible. It's where we learn of Christ. And we're going to give you the book. And here's what we're going to do. You know, the book costs $2. You want to throw a couple dollars in the plate, help pay for them? That's great. I'm not going to take any money up tonight. Sometime in the month of January, Wednesday night, Sunday, throw an extra dollar or two in. I'm going to pay. Fine. If you don't pay for it, we're still giving it to you. And we're going to give one a month for the whole year. Give it on the first Sunday of the month and just encourage you along with your Bible. Along with your Bible. Spend a little time. You're reading a good book. That'll challenge your heart. How do we become an example of the believer? How do we learn of Christ? How do we learn from Christ? It's all found in this book right here. That's where it comes from. So read it. Attend preaching. Attend teaching. Give careful application of your mind to these things, Paul said. Timothy, you need that. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father in heaven, we just bow before you tonight. We're thankful that you have given us your word. Oh, God. What should motivate us is not a set of rules. What should motivate us is the person of Christ. 361 days from now, since this is leap year, Lord, when we come to the end of 2020, I hope collectively as a church, all of us, in one way, shape, or form, have learned of Christ this year. Learned of Him. I hope our thinking has been influenced. And our life has been influenced. Life. So Lord, challenge our hearts. I pray that your people will get a plan and read their book, their Bible. And Lord, as we come to preaching, help us to pay careful attention. Help me and the others who preach here, Lord, to deliver messages that are full of truth. God, help us. Help us to be hungry to learn of Christ. And at the end of the year, may it be said of all of us, they learned something of Christ this year that's changed their life. Please help us, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you ought to join us tonight as a church. And let's just ask the Lord to teach us this year. Lord, help me to learn of You this year. Not another rule, but of You. My heart might be challenged. My life might be bettered as a disciple of Christ. As the invitation begins, we have the music. You obey the Lord tonight. You mind God, please.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in Thy presence humbly I bow. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is Thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have Thine own, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way.
What would be His way? His way would be
Search
learn of me.
And try me.
Learn me.
Master, today.
As the truth is in me, so
whiter
learn me.
Than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in Thy presence.
Thank you. Be seated if you will, please. Be seated.